KQED.
From KQED Public Radio, this is the California Report. Good morning, I'm Rachel Miro. Firefighters are making headway today in Northern California, but there are a lot of fires to fight, more than 800 at last count. In Mendocino County alone, CAL FIRE estimates more than 130 fires are burning, many sparked by lightning strikes over the weekend. County Supervisor Jim Wattenberger says he's never seen anything like it.
We are in a situation that is historic. I've fought fire in this county since 1971, and the largest single lightning series we've ever had 73 fires in it.
Meanwhile, fires are burning in Napa, Solano, Lake, Shasta, Trinity, San Mateo, Humboldt, and Butte counties. This is not typical. Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger said as much yesterday.
The normal fire seasons, the way we have known it in the past, that is pretty much gone. So I think this fire season now all year round, and I think the key thing for us is to prepare for that and to make the adjustments and to create more resources as quickly as possible, because the firefighters, they're stretched to the limit.
More than 4,300 firefighters have been mobilized across the state. The governor's directed the National Guard to provide what help it can. And he says neighboring states like Nevada and Oregon have also offered support. After the smoke clears, the long, slow process of rebuilding will begin. That was the story in South Lake Tahoe, where a year ago today, the Angora fire swept through, torching 3,100 acres of forest land and more than 250 homes. Reporter Tamara Keith looked in on the reconstruction there and found many homeowners sidestepping the latest fire-safe building codes.
More than 80 homes are rising in the aftermath of the Angora fire here in South Lake Tahoe. But there's an irony in the rush to rebuild a community in this high-risk fire zone. Many of the homeowners here are not following new state building codes designed to protect homes from future wildfires. They don't have to. That's because they got their permit applications in before January 1st when the new rules went into effect.
We had people lined up in the hall.
Bob Green is with the county building department. In the month of December alone, his office got 73 building permit applications from fire victims.
We had everybody and their dog was in here trying to make application.
Of the homeowners in the fire zone with permits to build, just 1 in 15 actually have to follow the new fire codes. Among other things, those codes require tempered glass in every window, fire-resistant siding, and attic vents that repel embers and flame.
This is all going to be slate.
Donna Clark is checking out the progress on her new 2,500-square-foot home. She's building in the same footprint as the one that burned down.
And then over here is our master bedroom, master bath, and a closet. Of course, I have no clothes to put in it yet, but...
Clark says she purposely avoided the new building codes.
We got it in by the 31st of December. We're happy.
She says she wants to be safe, but didn't think the extra cost of tempered glass windows was necessary.
I'll tell you what, I feel bad for people who have to put in all tempered glass. You know, I believe in, you know, obeying the laws and so forth, but I think some of them need to be rethought about.
Like many here, Clark says she and her husband were underinsured, so they can't afford the extra expense of meeting all the new building codes. On a nearby street, where only a few houses are standing, John Pickett is planning to build his family's first home. He bought the empty lot from a homeowner who decided not to rebuild after the fire.
We fall under the old building code.
You did that on purpose?
Very intentionally. It was not accidental, no. This is embarrassing.
Embarrassing because he knows better. He's operations manager for the Tahoe Fire and Fuels team. In his job, he works to prevent forest fires. And he will take some steps to mitigate the fact that he won't be following all the new building codes.
I'm in a position to at least know what risks I'm accepting. And so I felt like by getting it in there, I maintained some options to control cost and construction. It is about money.
That's a common refrain of homeowners, says Lake Valley Fire Department Battalion Chief Gareth Harris.
I couldn't give you specific numbers, but most definitely a large percentage of them are not adhering to it, and that was the point. That was why they applied for their building permit prior to this year.
Harris has been inspecting the rebuilt homes. He says those homeowners are picking and choosing which of the new codes known as Chapter 7A they want to follow.
We've supplied every one of them with a copy of Chapter 7A, and we're supporting them along with the process and highly recommending that they do utilize those construction standards in the rebuilding of their home. Frankly, they lost their home to a wildfire, and you know, if we can do something to try and prevent that from happening in the future, that's what we're doing.
And that's all he can do, recommend and encourage. Some of the new code requirements may seem to focus on minor things like windows and vents, but Susie Coker, a fire expert with the University of California Extension Service, says those are entry points that make homes vulnerable to fire. She's looking at a brand new home built in the fire zone.
Yeah, that's not good. That's your standard attic vent, and so embers can penetrate through there into the attic and burn it from the inside out.
Coker says that's exactly what doomed many of the homes destroyed in the Angora fire. Part of the problem, she says, is homeowners just don't understand how fires work.
They picture a wall of flame and I couldn't have done anything, whereas a lot of the research shows that's not true.
She sees these first homes rebuilt after the fire as a missed opportunity. In the future, though, all new California homes built in high-risk fire areas will have to follow the codes. For the California Report, I'm Tamara Keith.
The drought has water officials in Los Angeles rethinking ways to recycle. They're resurrecting a program dubbed Toilet to Tap as part of a plan to save the city up to 2 billion gallons of drinking water a year. From KPCC in Los Angeles, Patricia Nazario has more.
The water here that cools San Fernando Valley's electrical generating plant comes from the same pipes that drain tubs and toilets. Department of Water and Power Chief David Nahai says the utility is tapping into the same recycled water meant for irrigation and industrial uses.
Additionally, two golf courses, Balboa and Encino, are going to be irrigated with recycled water as well.
Reusing water for some purposes will make more available to drink during California's drought. L.A. City Councilwoman Wendy Gruhl says the United States needs more innovation to conserve resources.
I recently returned from Israel, and we talked about the fact that in Israel, they are recycling 75% of their water, 75%. We have to do better here in the United States, and particularly here in the city of Los Angeles.
L.A.'s Department of Water and Power serves about 1.5 million people. Gruhl says the utility's new program will help ensure a steady supply of water during the hot months ahead. For the California Report, I'm Patricia Nazario in Los Angeles.
That's the California Report for Tuesday, June 24th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Myra. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the California Healthcare Foundation and Cal Hospital Compare, rating hospital quality in California, on the web at calhospitalcompare.org, and the Wesley Foundation for coverage of immigration issues throughout California.